Wherever God puts you, that's where you start blooming. Amen? So I want you to start blooming, okay? Unshackled, breaking the chains of debt. Wonder how that's going to go over today. Hopefully not like a lead balloon, all right? Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, and we'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Let it sink in. The rich ruleth over the poor. The borrower is a servant to the lender. Father, we know your word is truth today, and I pray that we'll stand on your truth and we will not move from this truth, for you know better than any of us. You spoke more when you were on this earth, Lord Jesus, about money than any other subject, because you knew that it would be something that we needed to learn how to manage. So God, teach us today to be good stewards of what you've trusted us with. And I pray for your wisdom here today, and I pray for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Before I was going to let you be seated, I thought about an experiment today. I've got the neatest class. Oh, they all are smiling at me. Y'all want me to do the experiment we did in Sunday school? All right, come on up here. Come on, all the ones in my new members class, all the kids, come on. All the kids in my new members class, they're going to teach you something today. And the principle is this. Oh, by the way, I guess y'all know, yeah, but they don't know, right? So let's line up. Come on, line up all the way and get far apart. Now, some of you over here, all right, get far apart. There you go, far apart. Go on, further apart. There you go. All right, so should we do everything to the church like we did in class? Come on over, Mom. All right. Okay, you're going to have to stand up. I'm sorry. This is the rule. Everybody stand up for a minute. You can't have nothing in your hand. All right. Simple project. Okay, close your eyes. Everybody, you got your eyes closed. Don't stand so close. You got to stand at a distance. Okay. Everybody's got their eyes closed. No one looking. Kids, you close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. All right. Whether you know it or not, I want you just point north. Whatever you think north is, point north. Just point. No, Sherry, point. Not, no, point, like this. Whichever. Point north. Okay, everybody point. Okay, you're pointing that way. I see. All right, now keep pointing. Don't change the way you're pointing. Now open your eyes. Some of y'all don't know which way you're going. Some are pointing up, some are pointing. Kids, which way is north? That way, that's right, that's north. All right, you can be seated. Preacher, what are you doing? Thank you, kids. Go on. The point is this. Here's the whole point. You need to know truth, okay? And you know what? That never changes. You know, I know some of you are going to search your phone now. That's what I did in Sunday school. Because my phone pointed to the north. And my class... Sharp kids. They said, Pastor Ronnie, you cheated. No, I was the one asking the question. The point is, you got to know which way north is. And you know, when God says something in His Word, we need to pay attention to it. Amen? Because He's always right. Hello? His truth will stand forever and ever and ever. If we're going to break some chains in our life, we've got to learn to follow His way. Amen? And do what God says. And the main thought this morning is this. What could the people of God do for the kingdom of God if we didn't have any payments? What if we didn't have any payments? Preacher, that's impossible. Look up here. You may not like this, but God hates debt. Yeah, but God hates debt. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to get to what Mike just said, okay? Let me share this story that comes from one of our newest deacons. And who would that be? Jeff Hall, okay? So Jeff handed me this last night. I think I ought to hold him to it. But anyway, here's what he gave me. A city boy named Kenny moved into the country, and he bought a donkey from an old farmer for $100. The farmer agreed to deliver the donkey the next day. The next day, the farmer drove up and said this to Kenny. Sorry, son, but I have some bad news. The donkey has died. Kenny replied, well, then just give me my money back. The farmer said, can't do that. I went and spent it already. Kenny said, okay, then just unload the donkey. The farmer asked, what are you going to do with a dead donkey? Kenny replied, I'm going to raffle him off. Farmer, you can't raffle off a dead donkey. Kenny said, sure I can. Watch me. A month later, the farmer met up with Kenny and asked, what happened with that dead donkey? Kenny said, I raffled him off. I sold 500 tickets at $2 a piece and made a profit of $898. The farmer said, didn't anyone complain? Kenny said, just the guy who won, so I gave him the $2 back, which left me $898. Kenny grew up to be the deacon in charge of finances at the local Baptist church. I want you to meet Jeff Hall. Okay. You just got nominated, brother. Jeff didn't know that was coming back on him. Don't Jeff and Tina do a great job in our judgment house, though, amen, and leading us. And by the way, chains are getting broken every night at judgment house. It's great to see lives being changed. And I'm so excited to hear our young people say, I'm praying for some. In fact, that was part of our lesson today. They listed names of people to pray for. Three things real quickly, and I'm going to try to keep it short because we got to be right back in a few hours for judgment house. Number one, and I know you're going to say, preacher, there is no way you can break the chain of debt with your first word. I promise you, it works because it's God's way. First word, give. Give. You say, how is that going to break the chain? Well, let me ask you something. If you keep doing the same things that you're doing now, and you're still in debt, and you're in debt deeper than you were a year ago, don't you think something needs to change? I mean, if you just keep on, and by the way, I got this, and I was looking at it this morning. I just happened to come across it. I thought this was profound. This will make you think and maybe get your wheels going. Dave Ramsey wrote this. He says, the average car payment in America today is $485 over 86 months. Y'all with me so far? Take the $485 and put it into a decent growth stock market mutual fund in a Roth IRA from age 30 to 70, averaging 12% growth, you'll have $5.6 million. He said, I hope you like your car. That's the cost of slavery. It's a $5 million car and it's going down in value like a rock. Now, this is a Dave Ramsey quote. That's where Chevrolet got that like a rock. Now, I have a Chevy truck, he said. So you Ford people are no better. It's found on the road depreciated. It's not about the brand. It's about the concept. Well, you'll never have a nice car. But he said, if you take the $485 and put it in a cookie jar for 10 months, that would be $4,850 after 10 months. Does that add up in your city? If so, you've got about $5,000. Can you go out and buy a little Honda Accord or a little used Ford Taurus for $500 to get back and forth to work? He says you can and forget the car payment. Most people, and this is another reason we did the thing of pointing north is because most people have been conditioned by the bank, by the car dealers, that you can't have a car unless you're willing to get in debt. And that is not true. Amen. That is not true. You can get a car. It may not be a nice car, but as long as it gets you from point A to point B, that may make you think if one day at the age of 30, you could invest that car payment and one day be a multimillionaire. You see, the key is when you're young, starting out saving a little bit. And it's amazing what happens when you do it God's way. Now, here's God's way. Can I teach it to you? It works, by the way. 90% of God-blessed money goes much further than 100% of devil-infested money. Because when you don't honor God first, it's going to cost you more to live. It will. It will cost you. I don't care what you say. It will cost you more because God is saying this. You're going to need to keep that 10% that you were going to give to me because you're going to need every red penny of it. You're going to need it because without God, you're going to need a lot of help. You say, well, preacher, I do serve the Lord and I do give back to God and it is tough. And I will tell you, it is a tough world out there. We live in a fallen world and there's a lot of crooked people out there who will take your money real quick. But we need to learn what God says. And by the way, doing it God's way, God's going to honor it. He's going to show His favor. He will. And it's right here in His Word. Give. Number one, a good name. You say, what's that got to do with giving? Well, it's a good name. It's a good thing when you're a person that is known not to be head over your heels in debt. I mean, man, do you think I feel so sorry today for college kids? And, you know, I remember going to my mom when I wanted to go to college. I said, Mom, I want to go to college. She said, Son, I am so proud of you. And Mom said, well, son, I'm proud of you. Now pay your own way. That's what my mother told me. Boy, did she love me. She really did. You know what my mother taught me? And I learned this at a very young age. And I'm not a smart guy, I don't think, but I learned from my parents. Here's what my parents taught me. If you can't pay for it, you don't get it. Amen. And that's what my parents taught me. You say, well, Preacher Ronnie, did you go to college? Oh, yeah, an expensive one. Did you pay your way? Yeah, God provided. Let me tell you what happened to me. I was 19 years old. I worked in a clothing store. Some of you wonder why I wear suits all the time. Well, I got used to wearing a tie and a shirt when I was in. I wore a tie and shirt every day because I had to go work in the clothing store. They paid me $10,000 a week as a part-time student. We're talking way back. Let's see, I graduated from high school in 76. So I started in college that fall. I know a lot of you weren't even born then. But anyway, starting in college that fall, all right, $10,000 was a lot of money back then, okay? Then I was preaching youth revivals, and I was preaching in this particular church that didn't have a pastor, and they said, listen, when you're not preaching somewhere else, will you come to preach for us? And I did. I was 19 years old, was not married. It was an independent Baptist church that called me as their pastor. Believe the same thing we believe. I was in a Southern Baptist school, and I was in a, my first church was an independent Baptist church. They paid me $12,000 a year. I made $22,000 a year. And God provided, and I graduated from Campbell University in 1980 and didn't owe one red cent. Now, God did that. Amen. You say, Preacher, you're just bragging on you. Oh, no, I know I didn't do it because even the $22,000 weren't enough. You know what I did? I don't mind admitting this. I stayed at the financial aid office, and I got every penny I could get. So you know what? I don't have much mercy for anyone who don't want to go to college because I look at it this way. If you want to go, God will make a way. I know He will. And you know, that's my testimony. And what a good name. What a good thing to do that you could say, hey, I did this by the grace of God and it's paid in full. You can do the same. I know some of y'all looking at me and thinking, well, so what? Well, I heard about this very wealthy man. He had this brother who was very, he was one mean dude. I mean, he was a liar, a cheat. He was a rattlesnake. He ran around on his wife. He was bad to his children. This was one mean man. And this man who was very wealthy went to the pastor. He said, I understand you're building a building. And he said, I will give you $1 million for the new building program that you've got if you'll just get up and say that my brother had a good name. And the pastor said, well, I can't do that. That's a lie. He thought about it, though. He thought, man, we sure would like to get that building paid off. He said, all right. And the pastor agreed. So the pastor gets up and he preaches the man's funeral. And he says, you know, this man laying here was a liar. He was a cheat. He was a rattlesnake and he was no good for nothing. But compared to his brother, he had a good name. Oh, well, you know, preachers aren't dumb. Anyway, the thing about it is, what is a good name? I mean, what does it come down to? We're talking about a reputation here. And by the way, it's amazing how words can destroy a good name. You know, it's bad how somebody can say one bad thing and destroy a person's name. But a good name is a person of integrity, a person who does what he says he will do. A person, and I remember the day, and y'all are making me feel old because when I was talking about when I graduated, I heard owns or whatever. But here's the thing about it. I remember the day where two people could shake hands, and that was enough. Amen. Nowadays, you got to have lawyers and contract. You got to have a contract. You got to have all the red tape. But I don't want to spend too much time here. But it's important. The Bible says a good name, rather to be chosen than great riches. All right. Then the next thing in that verse says, and having favor. I see a godly nature here. Having favor rather than silver or gold. A godly nature is a loving nature. Jesus said it best when he said in Matthew, for where your treasure is, there will your heart is also. You see, that's the way I choose to go. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like preachers talking about money. You know why? Because it steps on everybody's toes. That's the truth. Jesus talked more about money than any other subject. Google it. He had more to say. You know why? Because Jesus knew that's where people's heart was. You want to know where the heart of this church is? Look in the offering plate. Yeah. Oh, that hurt, didn't it? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look at your checkbook. Look at your financial statement that we give everybody at the end of the church year and compare it to your income. You'll see where your heart is. What is a godly nature? Look up here, folks, and I'll tell you what a godly nature is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did he give? He gave his all. Amen? Our God is a giving God. Look up here, folks. We are most like God when we're giving. Yeah, you are. That's who God is. Aren't you glad that we have a God who gives? I mean, think about what if God withheld? What if God said, and he could do this to us, you live on 10% and I demand the 90%. And he could have. I mean, he could. He owns everything. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and he owns the hills too. You and I, somehow in our brain, think that we own something. Folks, we really don't own anything. We don't. You came into this world with nothing, you'll leave with nothing. The fact is, everything belongs to God. And I think this is how God shows up in our finances and in our life. It's when we, listen, recognize that he owns it all and he's just called us to be good managers. You see, it's not how much money you have, it's what you do with what you have. Some poor person said, well, I ain't got but a dollar. But you know what? A dollar can go a long ways if you use it right. Yeah. I remember when my kids, and you know what? I told them, now I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll save that till I talk about children. I'll wait on that. But anyway, a godly nature is a giving nature. We're most like God when we give. And then a guarded navigator, a guarded navigator. In other words, well, let me read the scripture here. A prudent man, he says in verse 3, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doeth keep or guard his soul shall be far from them. Give yourself to be a guarded navigator. What do I mean by that? Well, we're all going to face financial storms. If you've got any money anywhere, you know that there's going to be ups and downs, and there's always going to be things that you probably shouldn't have done that you did do, and you wasted these financial resources God blessed us with. But to be on guard, to be wise in all that you do, a guarded navigator. A navigator is one who has to navigate through the storms of life. How do we keep what we have worked for without losing it? A wise, clever man is what the word prudent means. A clever, wise man will see the storms and find a place of safety. He will not simply pass on and act as though that they're not there, that there's no evil out there. How do you keep your soul from the thorns and snares of the enemy? Stay close to the captain of the ship. His anchor holds, like the choir sung. Amen? I'll tell you what, we may waver on the rock, but the rock will not waver. You can count on what Jesus says and what Jesus does. And I'm going to tell you something. He's never lost one person. Hello? I mean, you think about how deceitful the devil is. He will lie, cheat his way into your life. But Jesus has never lost a one. A guarded navigator. Don't allow money to own you. You make sure you own it. We are to be good stewards of all God's blessings with. The second word is grow. Now we're going to get into the meat of some of this because this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. I love this in verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are, okay? So there's some conditions. By humility and, conjunction, the fear of the Lord are, one, riches, honor, and life. He said, well, wait a minute, preacher. Are you one of those name it, claim it type preachers? You one of those, I can't even say it, prosperity preachers? No, I'm not. No. But I will say this. I saw advertised, or it wasn't advertised, it was one of these TV evangelists. I'll never forget this. And I got to thinking about what he was saying. He said he needed $10,000. And if you would send him $1,000, God would send you $10,000. I got to think about that. Wait a minute. Since he needs the $10,000 and he's asking for it, I'll just write him and ask him to send me $1,000 because he's the one that needs the $10,000 and God will send him $10,000. Does that make sense to you? I'll take his $1,000, wouldn't you? Yeah, because I don't believe that kind of stuff works. I really don't. I don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing. I'm going to give you honest answers today. By humility and the fear of the Lord. And if you and I could get off our high horse long enough and let go of our pride. By the way, I guess I'm old enough now that I think about this stuff. I don't think I have to prove anything to anybody. You know, I felt so sorry for my pastor growing up. I did. You know, he is as tall as I am. And he's a godly man. And I remember him saying this as a young boy. He said, you know, I sure would like a bigger car, but I don't want nobody to think that I can afford a bigger car. So he drove in a Volkswagen. I'll never forget that. A little Volkswagen. He was crunched up in that Volkswagen. And I thought how wrong that is. Now, here's the truth. I think you ought to be able to do what the Lord allows you to do. You know what? If God's blessed you financially and you can drive a Cadillac, then drive a Cadillac. You know, I mean, if you don't have to get into payments. And by the way, don't grumble about the cost of gas when you're driving a, you know, more expensive car. I don't know if a Cadillac's that expensive. I never had one. But anyway, Mercedes, maybe I need to step it up some or whatever. But what I am saying is this. How do you grow? How do you really grow? Well, number one, you better do this. If you're going to grow financially, if you're going to grow even in the Lord, you need a plan. And the word is budget. Yeah, that's what a budget is. A budget is simply a plan. Now, I've given you a free website place you can go, www.daveramsey.com, Get Started Budget. And I've gone to that website. He has an excellent free tool to help you to get started in your budget. And you know what? A budget, you know, I've been a pastor all these years, and it's so funny how many people don't understand the word budget. I'm amazed at the people in the church who think that when the church comes up with a budget, that there's money set aside in all those areas. And here's the truth. A budget is nothing more and nothing less than a plan. There is no money in the budget. No, They're just figures. In other words, you're saying to yourself, and I want to challenge you to do this, because I did this years ago. Make some goals for your life. I had some goals set. I wished I would have kept doing it. But when I was younger, I said, I want to do this by the age of 40. I want to do this by the age of 50. And so I came up with some budgeting ideas personally for myself, which were challenges. They were hard to get to. How do you do that? How do you budget things? Well, here's what you do. You do without a lot of things that you think you need in order to do the things that you really want to do. Okay, here's a basic principle. You can never have more going out than you have coming in. So here's my rule of thumb for my life. Always live below your income. Don't live above your income. That's not budgeting. But being a planner. And if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So without a budget, you already set yourself up for failure. A budget is a good thing. Here's a budget that I think is workable. Yes, this has been my budget. 10% to God. Okay, first, always. Started that at 14. 10% to God. 50% to cover all expenses. All household expenses, whatever expenses there are. 20% for needs. And 20% for savings. You say, preacher, have you always done that? I actually have learned to do more in the saving area. Because you know what? If you don't learn at a young age, you'll never get ahead. You can't wait till you're my age. You gotta wait. I mean, you gotta start when you say, well, when you're young, you don't have much. Well, I'm gonna tell you, and I'm being very transparent. You know, with my kids, and I look back and I thought, could I have done more for my kids? I could have. But, you know, I just chose this. And I'm not putting anybody down that does. But I never purchased anything that was a name brand. You know, I told you I worked in a clothing store. Let me tell you about clothing stores real quick. It's a high markup. You see, I don't buy anything today. This suit here, I buy them all on clearance. Amen. I'm going to tell you how I buy them on clearance. I wait to the right time. And I buy them cheap. I mean, this suit probably, I can tell you, this suit probably cost less than $20 to make. The price tag on it was $400. I paid $65. That's how you do it. I mean, and I worked, and by the way, that was my job. I was the manager of the suit department, and I marked up those suits, and I saw what we were paying, and I marked up suits because my boss told me to. $400, and they cost us $20 to $25. So we were making, and the two men I worked for were both millionaires, okay? I learned a lot as a young boy, and if you'll learn, and by the way, always learn from others. Those two guys who I worked for were great guys. They were good Christian men, but they knew how to run a business, and that business is still there, Ashworth Clothing, and the two owners, the last Jimmy, he just died. And WD. Both of those men were like mentors to me. They gave me a lot of wisdom, and they really helped me along life's way. I would never put them down, but I'll tell you what, they knew how to do business. They certainly knew how to have a budget. Proverbs 16:3 tells us that God blesses plans that have been committed to Him. All right, and then blessed. Okay, how can we be blessed? He says by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Who are the blessed? Those who have humility and the fear of the Lord. Lord means the sole owner and operator of your life. Note that the word is in all caps. You grow your money by growing your love for the Lord, who truly owns everything that we have. We've already said, James 4:6. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You humble yourself, look up here, church, and you recognize that everything you have has come from His good hand. And you're thankful for what you have. And as you're thankful for what you have, you're not looking around and saying, well, why is the Lord blessing the Joneses and the Smiths and He's not blessing me? No, you be thankful for what God has put in your hand and be a good manager of what God's given you. And keep yourself humble. And church, listen to me. If we would treat this in the fear of the Lord, and we'd put in this offering plate. Notice I took it out of the offering plate. Notice I'm putting it back in the offering plate. All right. The fear of the Lord says you better put it in that offering plate. Hello? Anybody out there? Because it's not mine. You said, well, preacher, you better put that back in the offering plate. It wasn't yours in the first place. But none of the money that we have is ours. It all belongs to Him. Are y'all getting this picture? You want to be blessed, then recognize the blesser. Too many times we worship the blessing over the blesser. We worship the creation more than the creator. Hello? But when you get your focus right, who is the blesser? God's the blesser. And He has blessed us all more than we deserve. Hello? We are blessed. Keep yourself humble before the blesser and walk in the fear of the Lord, recognizing this, that as quick as He gave it to you, He can take it away. That's true for every one of us. And I think about that often in my own life. Lord, You've blessed me, but You can take it all away if I don't do what's right in Your eyes. And that's true for you. It's true for me. We want to be blessed, but there must be humility. There must be a fear of God in us. I don't know about you, but I need all the grace I can get. And He says He'll give us even more grace. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. You might want to write that one down, Proverbs 9:10 and 11. That's a promise from God. The fear of the Lord is beginning the wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, God's saying, thy days shall be multiplied and thy years of your life shall be increased. Humility and the fear of the Lord go hand in hand. And then let's talk about this for a second. Let's break it down because I felt like I had to break it down for a minute. Riches. Notice it says in Proverbs 22:9. I didn't read that, but look at it. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. For he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now, I don't think I've got it on the board up there, but riches should go under the word blessed. Because he says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. A bountiful eye is one who looks to bless others. Eyes of caring for other people. Notice the Bible says he gave us his own bread, not someone else's bread, his own bread. Ecclesiastes 11:1, I know a man who lived his life like this, and I don't know of a man that was more blessed than the man I'm thinking of right now. This was his verse. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. In other words, it's going to come back. Had this man in my life, very dear to me, And he was a man's man now. He was bigger than I am. I looked up to him big time. And oftentimes, I would find him laying his head on my shoulder, hugging me, crying, why is it that God blesses me so much? Now, what this man didn't know, I've seen this bountiful eye at work. I was in a grocery store one day, and he didn't know I was in there. He was in a line to pay for something his wife sent him in there to get. And this guy's a multimillionaire. He's very well off. And there was a lady up there at the front of the line, and she was putting her groceries back. And this guy got an eye for that. And he looked to the cashier and got eye contact and said. And so the clerk quickly moved everything over in the cart and said, don't worry about it. You go ahead. So when this man came up, and I watched this myself, he paid for all of her groceries and a couple of items he had. And then he would ask me, why is it that God blesses me so much? Because he has a bountiful eye. He has an eye to help someone else out that needed help. And when you see that, oh yeah, it's going to go into this third subject because I was just a young guy watching him do this for many years. And that's the word. Well, let's talk about honor. I don't want to forget that. God says when you honor Him with your finances, He will do the things for you that you could never do for yourself. God will turn things around that you didn't even know could be turned around. Right now, maybe you're so deep in debt that you can't see your way out of it. You just don't know. You don't have any hope right now. We bless the blesser, not the blessing. We understand this. We bless the giver, not the gift. You know, we get focused so much at Christmas on giving, and while that's a good thing, we forget that Christmas is all about that God gave us His Son, right? And that's what Christmas is all about. So let me ask you something here. How can we best honor God? Well, the best way to honor God, according to Scripture, is by putting Him first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The promise is, you put God first in your life. You say, well, preacher, I can't afford to put God first in my life. Look up here, church. You can't afford not to put God first in your life. You are on a road to disaster. I'm telling you, you are, without the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed with riches and honor and then life. I've already read the verse. God is the giver of life. He said He can and He will. He can multiply our days, can He not? Sure He can. What is the purpose of making a living if you don't have a life? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What does the word abundant means? Life to the very fullest. And by the way, there's a lot of things. Everybody look up here and I'm going to be, I got to get done quick. Folks, let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that money can't buy, okay? Boy, I've got to finish here. I didn't know. I'm sorry. But all right, next thing is blessing. I got to give you this before you leave. And everybody's got children here today. Everybody's got some grandchildren or older ones of us do. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, notice the Lord doesn't tell us to teach a child, but instead we're to train a child. What's the difference? That means we're to mold that child into shape by discipline and practice by the life that we live. How do we do that? That is what you show your child. Most things are caught more than they're taught. A man, his wife, and his son was visiting this church. And as they were driving home afterwards, he was complaining about everything he saw at the church. He said the music was too loud. The sermon was way too long. The announcements were unclear. The building was hot. The people were unfriendly. Finally, this very observant son remembered what his dad put in the offering plate, said, Dad, you got to admit, it was a pretty good show for a dollar. Kids are watching us. I'll tell you something, the greatest lesson you could teach your children, and I taught my kids this, I gave them a dime. I said, now, you get 9 pennies, and God gets one. And if you can simply learn that principle by teaching a dime, that child will carry that all the days of their life. Sherry and I visited our son down in Greenville. He's an engineer. And so we're going to this church, and I was worried because I knew Sherry couldn't handle it because this was one of the, they had the smoke, they had the lights, they had the, it was loud, you know. Sherry, I thought she was going to die. I really did. I was going to give her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Anyway, my son, as we're going through the door, and all, this is a young people church, young adults, he swipes his card. I said, what's that, dude? He said, well, Dad, that's how I tithe. He said, I don't ever keep any money. I tithe through my... But I was so proud that he tithe. I don't care if you swipe your card. I don't care if you... Hey, at least he's doing what he was taught as a little boy. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, the Bible says he'll not depart from it. This is important, church. We want our children to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed. And instead of leaving the kids a lot of money, I'd rather teach them and give them the tools. Because I've taught this all my life, and I thought this while I was preaching it. If the church resents me for getting up talking about it, that's fine, but I want my kids to learn it. I want my, and you know, my daughter up in Boone, she's learned it. And God certainly has blessed her. I know God blesses. What a child learns in the early years of child development, they hardly ever forget. Parents need to train children to be more like God by helping them to understand the borrower is the servant of the lender. A child has a dime, show them how to use that dime. And I know some of you parents do that, and I'm very proud of you. When our children were small, they would constantly ask, why can't we do this? Our friends are, and we would always tell them this, when those people raise children as fine as ours, then maybe we'll start doing what they're doing. Because what I was going to tell you a while ago, we didn't buy the name brand shirts. We didn't, because I was going to tell you, I left that out. We didn't buy all the name brands and all the, you know, stuff that let people know that that was a special brand or something. No, we didn't buy all that. Because I learned in the clothing store, the same manufacturer made those shirts as the ones. It was so, it's crazy. I mean, we got the same identical suit, whether it was a Palm Beach or a Cricket, or it had our name brand. We had, I don't have no name brand because I bought it cheap. Anyway, but you know, you want to be able to flip it out and say, this is a, you know, Palm Beach, this is a Cricketeer, this is a botany or whatever. All these different name brands. What was it? That's a really expensive suit. Yeah, I can't afford those. They're $800, $900. Anyway, all right, last thing, and I'm done. I'll let you out of here. Without God, we're all sunk. That's the last word. He's the source, not the resource. Now, understand this in verse 2. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. God is our source, period, exclamation mark. We all stand before God with the same needs. Rich, poor, young, old, educated, uneducated, we all need God. He is the source for our well-being. He provides the sun, the water, the oxygen, and so forth. The greatest truth I could ever give you regarding your finances today is that God is your only source. Everything else is a resource. Never treat the resources as if it were the source, because then the resources will control you. That's important. And then recognize the fact that you have a shield, not a religion. Notice what he says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Some people rely on other things. They rely on a religion. What is religion? Religion is man searching for God, trying to find the answers in whatever religion it is. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. God must be your source. He is your shield. And last of all, He's your Savior, not your recourse, meaning that there is no other way. There's no other purpose. There's no other person that you can go to. Man's greatest debt is the sin debt. There's only one Savior, and you have no other recourse. Webster said recourse is any source. God's only source is His precious darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I've been telling every group that's been coming through Judgment House. I want to give it to you in closing today. This is what I do before I end my presentation to every group. I ask them to think about the cross. And my last word that I give them is the word, and I explain the word, reconciliation. And here's what I've been pointing to. Here you are on this side. Jesus is holding you on the cross. You are wrong because of your sin. You're in debt to God. You owe God everything. You have sinned against God. Here's holy God in this hand. Jesus has the right to call God Father. That is His Father. So He's got a holy God in this hand. He's got you, the sinner, in this hand. And what does He do on the cross but bring the two together? He makes us right with the holy God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so here's what I want you to understand. I don't care what you owe today. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, and He washed it white as snow. Now you say, preacher, I've got financial debt. Let me tell you what happens with financial debt. You learn this principle, that Jesus Christ owns everything and that you trust Him as your Savior and your Lord. Start letting Him direct your life. I'm not going to tell you that immediately. It took you years to get in debt. It might take some years for you to get out of debt. But I'm telling you, the one who broke the chains of debt was on the cross. He broke the greatest debt of all. Your sin debt. We got to sing. We got to give an invitation. I'm going to ask no one to be leaving now. I know some had to leave because they had other appointments. But right now, this invitation, can we let God be God? What would happen here today if we just literally said, God, I'm trusting You with my debts. I'm trusting You with my problems. He said, cast all your care on me because I care for you. He loves you today. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Man, there's people has some serious addictions. Addictions are very, very serious. My heart breaks when I hear some of the things that people have gone through. But I'm here to tell you today that what Jesus did on that cross, not only will He save you, His word, His truth will set you free. Let's pray. Father, Your word is life. It gives life. And I pray at this invitation, if there's someone who does not know you and pardon again to sin, the day they'll be saved. Lord, would you change some life? We've seen many lives changed so far in Judgment House. And I pray today at this invitation that God, your Holy Spirit, would be working just like he works through the Judgment House, and that God will see people come to Jesus today. Thank you for paying the greatest debt we owe, our sin debt. And Jesus, you paid it in full. You said it's finished, it's done. You did everything you needed to do to please a holy God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for our redemption through Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. And you come today just like you are today. Warts and all, problems and all, debts and all. It don't matter what you've got. Give it to Jesus today. The altar is open. Our deacons will be down here to pray. Let's sing. Just as I am, I come broken. Would you